Hello and welcome to episode number 27 of this music education podcast called More Than Tones. It's great you're back to listen to the second part of the conversation between David, Milena, Leonie, Camilla and Jennifer. Their conversation continues at the point where Jennifer talks about the beginning of Brockwood Park School and the challenges both teachers and students had to face at that time.
This alumni student told me that it was chaotic. It was so chaotic. The students wanting this, and the teachers wanting this, or the staff members wanting this way. And in the end, they had to come to some kind of agreement on certain aspects of the daily living just to make things function to some extent. And so what they did was they came up with a set of agreements between the students and staff, and they developed this set of agreements. And from what I've heard over the years, the agreements they've been built upon, they've been changed, students have argued against them and have asked for things to be shifted. So from my experience of the years that I've been at Brockwood, every year the agreements are revisited. Whether it's the staff, whether it's the students, whether it's together, every year they are revisited.
Okay, so also Brockwood, with its very open concept, needed regulations or agreements, as you call it, to function. But flexibility about these agreements was and is till now very important. Let us continue with your experience at Brockwood. I'm wondering now what actually happens if agreements are not followed.
There are consequences for some agreements, for example, like drugs, also having sex in the school, because legally in a British school, it's not allowed. So some do have consequences, but what's interesting about this whole process is when something happens in the school, in the majority of the things that happen in the school, it's very hard for things to get covered up. Eventually something does come out and a student talks or a staff finds out about something. And so the incident comes to light, and then that starts a whole process of discussion with the tutors of the student and usually the person working in pastoral care and the co-principal. So meetings start, and they usually start one-on-one, and then they can sometimes end up in group meetings, depending on what has happened. And they're the kind of meetings where we first just try to inquire and ask, you know, what has happened? What has led to this? Without it becoming like a space where we're going to threaten you or this, you're going to have this consequence. In no way do we come at it in that way. What we do is we try to first inquire what has happened, what has led the student to this point. And because there's so much time given to that, I mean, I would say being at Brockwood all those years, I would say like 80% of the work that I did, I mean, I did a lot of teaching and I prepped for a lot of classes, and I was involved in many different areas, but a lot of the work that you do is related to pastoral care, which is like the care for the student, the daily life, the things that come up, the difficult things that come up. And to be able to discuss that with a group of educators and the students.
Do you think today that this way of handling agreements is the most successful for you personally? And do you think that this is also the right manner for the students to treat these agreements like that?
I think every place needs some set of boundaries, like healthy boundaries. It's not that I disagree or agree with the agreements. I think they're there for a reason, and that it helps to basically get through the terms in a way that holds the student body responsible. But at the same time, you know, as a Brockwood staff, you know that every year things are going to happen. Every year. There's no doubt about it. It's like you almost know when when the event is going to happen, after a school party or a school dance, or we're getting just close to the end of the term and the students are itching to go out, and, you know, because they've been in the school the whole term, and, you know, you see it coming. And that's just the nature of the place. And it's the nature of the place to then go into it with the group to discuss it. If it really has brought a lot of alarm to the group or concerns, we bring it into interesting questions during inquiry time. So once a week, we have an inquiry time with the whole school. I remember years ago when we had major stealing incidences in my last year in 2011. The following year, it still happened. I had left, and the staff were kind of fed up with it, and they left it to the student council. And the student council organized a gathering that lasted literally almost the whole day. The students stayed in the assembly, and they put this big white jar outside of the assembly, and they said, okay, we're going to ask whoever did the stealing, say that you did the stealing and put money into this pot, or admit that you did it and that you would return the items, whatever. And no one eventually did it, but they did all these interesting social projects because Brockwood can just do that. They can just stop everything. We can stop classes and just say, hey, this is really important. What's happening in our community? Are we losing trust between each other? So to have that capacity is quite interesting and fascinating. And all these things come up. I mean, I could tell you a boatload of stories that are just, they're incredible. And they offer so much rich learning. And also sometimes students will never forget that experience years down the road, whether it was challenging for them or whether it was really eye-opening. At the end of the day, like, I would challenge some of the agreements, like how things are worded. I probably would, and I have in the past. But now that I'm out of the place, I would say it's important to have it. But it's also important to allow the students to question it every year. You have about one third of new students who come every year, and they always misinterpret the agreements, or older students tell them, no, it's okay, you can do this, but just don't let so-and-so see you do that, or you can sneak out at night. Or there's so many layers to the agreements. And maybe I would say it's become part of a kind of culture at Brockwood, which is why I think the director finds it really important to revisit very, very closely these agreements with students, so that they're not kind of taken for granted, that there is a seriousness to it, but not a seriousness out of fear. And that, I think, that's the key as educators.
So when you're talking about culture, surely this way of dealing with agreements and rules must have an impact on the students. Can you name any ways how this influences their behavior and development?
What I would say, what I observe in Brockwood and the student environment, I would say that what they come away with or what they discover is, and this all happens through self-learning, is taking responsibility for their actions, to confront what they've done, to come forward, to be able to talk about it. Reflection is a big thing at Brockwood. I feel like students, after they stay 2, 3, even 1 year, they begin to understand what it means to reflect on their actions and behaviors. I would say that because Brockwood is really, it's a school that's geared towards creating the self-learning environment, that, yeah, they're capable of looking at the issues on their own.
That really reminds me of the situation you were just talking about with Milena, with the stealing incidences, where students dealt with those issues on their own. It really sounds like students learn that kind of behavior at Brockwood. I was also wondering if there is a special way how Brockwood and its staff and its students deal with group dynamics or with topics like bullying.
It's interesting because, like, when I first came to Brockwood, I was like looking to see. I had these kind of already had this idea, like, oh, there's these little groups or these people, you know, these students over here have their kind of friendship, and it does tend to happen that like clusters and groups form within Brockwood, but very quickly as the year gets on, you can start to see how like those groups are also kind of infiltrated and friends start to hang out with other people. But because it's such a small place and because it's kind of like a family, the bullying, I have witnessed it, but it doesn't happen frequently. And when it does come up, people are very, very quick to support the student or even staff, or it's dealt with right away. I mean, Brockwood students in themselves probably are the first ones to say, hey, we don't want this.
It's nice to hear that the students themselves are acting on those problems, and it's not just the teacher who takes the responsibility for those issues, because that's usually how things happen very often at schools.
It also really shows that what you said in the beginning, that they learn how to feel responsible, they learn how to reflect and behave differently, because yes, it sounds special that they adapt a different attitude to bullying and they behave more socially. But it kind of seems that this particular learning is enabled because Brockwood creates this space and you have all these possibilities that you told us. And we are thinking, how can we take some of this spirit and what can we do in a normal Berlin school?
I mean, at Brockwood, the whole environment is set up to create this very interesting space. But, you know, every day you walk in the classroom, you know, can you step aside and look at your fears, look at the difficulties, the challenges, maybe the suffering you experience, maybe share that with the students to open up this space. And through the kind of things that you plan for classes, are you going to give the space for the student to have, I don't know how to say it, how to explain. Yeah, to provide an environment where the student can self-learn. There's a sense of inquiry in the educational space where they can question what you're doing, or question the topic that you're bringing to the space or the lesson. And there is no exact how, but from my experience, it starts with relationship.
So when you are talking about relationship, we were also wondering, is this emphasis on relationship reflected in the behavior and the roles of students and pupils? Can you tell us anything about that?
In some way, it's like all of that gets wiped away. Even though there's like the role of the staff, the teacher, the student, somehow those roles, like, they also disappear. And that's, I think, really healthy in a school environment. If those roles can like kind of not be so defined and kind of just die, those roles can just die, you know. Krishnamurti says die every day to your role or your, you know, your persona, your ego. So, and that's what allows the beautiful relationships to evolve amongst staff and students.
That does sound like something we could actually try in a school in Berlin, to approach students in a more personal way, to not look at them in their roles all the time, and not to look at us as teachers in that role. I can imagine that this changes the way you work together with students and teachers in a school, that it really changes the environment. So, do you have any other ideas what we as students in teacher training could do at schools, what we could try? Any ways how we could put bigger emphasis on relationship, for example?
My question for all of you would be, how do you start the year with your classes? What is like the purpose of education for you? Like when you before the year even begins, when you're planning your classes and you're so absorbed in your work, you know, do you actually sit down and say, well, all of this that I'm going to plan might actually go out the window, because how do I know that the student is even going to be interested in what I'm going to offer? I'm actually bound to a certain curriculum because of the state education, the government education. You know, what is it that you feel kind of bound to, and where do you feel that you can kind of break those boundaries in starting from the first day of school? You know, it's not really a good idea just to start teaching classes. Like, how would you establish a relationship from the start, the very get-go, when they can't walk into your classroom? You know, what is it that you're going to do? I mean, you might actually not start classes for a whole week. I know some teachers from the past, like from even before I was there, I've spoken to teachers, like alumni teachers, who have said they even started with no planning, no curriculum, nothing. I mean, that's just, for me, it's really radical to walk into a classroom and tell a body of students, I have nothing planned for you. What can I teach you? I don't know. Let's start with relationship. And out of that comes a curriculum that develops, you know. One teacher told me he spent like a month planning with his students what they wanted to learn. And then the class got started.
I mean, that sounds really nice, but imagine if you do that at a normal, regular school here in Berlin, they would think you're crazy. I think you would get serious problems doing that, really.
I saw the look in your face, like fear. Oh, that would bring trouble, you know? So just that in itself is like, would you be able to tell some of the teachers, say, like, I'd like to do something different, but I have fear to bring it forward, you know? So it's all about communication and relationship. At the end of the day, like, we can only just do from ourselves, you know? We can't depend on anyone else, or even though we're in relationship with people, like, at the end of the day, it starts in ourselves, and no one's going to tell you how or what. But yeah, like, the questioning and the looking at oneself starts here. For me, that's how I would like to end for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we can't depend on anyone else. At the end of the day, it starts in ourselves. Thank you for this ending phrase. There's very much truth to it, and surely it can be helpful to keep these important words in mind, especially when things do not happen in the way we would have wished or expected it. Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your personal experiences and for talking with us about the Brookwood Park School, about conformity and freedom, about relationship between teachers and students, about agreements that give space for discussions, and about responsibility, reflection, and inquiry as important life tools. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed the interview and that here or there, perhaps you heard something that might have interested or inspired you in any way, whether it might be with regards to education or simply with regards to everyday life questions. Thank you.
And last but not least, we want to thank the German musical duo Kollektiv Turmstrasse for the permission to use their song Heimat. And furthermore, we would like to thank the Krishnamurti Foundation Trust for the permission to reproduce parts of the works of Yidu Krishnamurti.
At the end of the interview, Jennifer said, "The questioning and the looking at oneself starts here." We don't have a video recording of this conversation, so I do not know what Jennifer might have looked like or might have done while saying the sentence. I pictured her and saw a teacher who pointed at her heart with her hands while saying, "The looking at oneself starts here." Dear Jennifer, David, Milena, Leonie, and Camilla, Thank you very much for speaking so openly and honestly about risky undertakings with regard to education. If you'd like to comment on this episode, give any kind of feedback, or just want to get in touch, please go to the blog www.mehralstöne.de. And if you are interested in listening to other English episodes, scroll down to the 7th of September and the 16th of March 2020. The upcoming episode will be in German again, but I'm sure that we will have more English-speaking guests in the future and look forward to it. So stay tuned, and in the meantime, enjoy life, enjoy your relationships, and especially when making music.